mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the advantages of watching a movie at home or watching a DVR show is that you can pause, rewind, or replay important conversations or scenarios from a scene. However, when you're in the middle of life, we get no such opportunity. Usually events and conversations fly past so fast that we can't process them very well. Fortunately for us, and unfortunately for the disciples who were living in that fast-paced moment, we have the chance, as we approach the passion of our Lord, to slow down and go through slow motion and even pause the passion story at certain critical moments. Today, I want to pause and go through at slow motion the moment of crisis in our passion readings today. And that moment is when Judas arrives with a bunch of armed soldiers to arrest Jesus. How is everybody going to react to the situation? Imagine what their different faces, the emotions that you could have seen on some of their faces. The first people we want to look at actually weren't even there. It's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the chief priests. They had sent the Judas and soldiers, and they had thought long and hard about this moment, and they had planned it all out. Jesus is here by himself with just a few fishermen, no crowds to come to his aid, and they have come heavily armed. To make sure they know which one is Jesus, they have Judas, who will give the signal with a kiss of death. Their strategy for this showdown is very clear. They want to overpower to win through violence and subterfuge. Clever and conniving, they have a politically astute strategy. How about the disciples? Well, their strategy is not nearly as well planned out. They, as they typically do, follow Peter's lead, and they respond with earnest passion. They're probably hopelessly outsorted, having only two between them, we heard last week, but they hope to offset with determination and adrenaline-fueled zeal what they lack in weaponry. Peter asks, and the disciples ask Jesus for permission, but Peter doesn't wait to hear what Jesus says, and he simply strikes out with his sword. I find it kind of ironic that Peter, who wasn't listening, cuts off another person's ear so they can't hear either. Sometimes that's how it is. When we aren't listening, we do more than stop ourselves from listening. Sometimes we prevent others from listening too. Well, now let's slow motion and rewind a little bit and look at Jesus, not just in this moment, but as he prepared for this moment. Jesus is composed and he is also submissive. Of course, he's not submissive to the authorities. And as if to remind us all of that fact, he simply speaks, and those who have come to arrest him fall backwards. No, Jesus is not simply going along with their plan. He has earlier prayed to his Father, asking for his intervention. And when intervention does not come, Jesus accepts that this is the will of his Father. He goes to his trial with eyes wide open, focused on carrying out the Father's plan. In Jesus' case, the good news is that that means his suffering unto death for your salvation. Well, there's something stunning, a lot of stunning things, really, but one thing that jumps out at me, it's pretty normal, I think, for someone to claim to do something in God's name. Military and political leaders of all nationalities and religions love to do that sort of thing. People curse all the time with that same sort of idea in mind. People say they'll swear on Bibles, or swear in God's name, or just plain swear, if it will convince someone to believe them. But what's not so normal is to refuse to do anything in God's name, as Jesus does. Now, the vast majority of people will at least protest when they are accused, much less arrested. Even when we're as guilty as sin, we don't go down without some sort of fight, be it verbal or physical. And yet, Jesus says, put away your swords. Don't you realize that I'm fulfilling the scripture? No matter how bad things look, God is in control, and I'm going to act as if he is. All Jesus did was prayed, and then he waited. That's the crux of our message today, that often when we're faced with problems and temptation or difficulties, we should do exactly what Jesus did. First, pray to God to intervene, and second, trust God when he to intervene, even if when it's in ways that we don't expect or want. What a powerful line from one of my favorite hymns today. Learn from Jesus Christ to pray. He truly can teach us how to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see quite clearly that Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He asked for a way out repeatedly. He was sweating drops of blood in tortured anticipation of what was about to take place. However, after praying for some time, he decided that since God had not seen fit to spare him the agony of the cross, it was simply his task to undergo suffering, betrayal, rejection, and crucifixion. Learn from Christ to bear the cross. It's easy to say that we trust in God, but actually doing it is a bit trickier and less appealing. In fact, that's our whole problem, isn't it? Just like the disciples we are, the first step in trust is often exactly what Jesus did and what the disciples couldn't manage to do, to pray. We might say that we trust in God, but if we don't pray, do we really trust him? If you never ask God for his help, if you just prefer to handle things on your own without any advice or guidance or intervention, then who are you really trusting? If you think that you are the only one who can handle it, or if you think that you are the only one who should handle it, then it begs the question, are you trying to do God's job for him? Sometimes the hardest things for us, maybe I should say, sometimes the hardest thing for me to do is to do nothing. Yet often, after we've prayed, that's exactly what we should do. Is prayer simply a last-ditched attempt when all else fails? Sometimes I think I know what someone's going to say, and I start to cut them off before they're finished, but no one ever really likes that. It's pretty rude, right? Are we willing to give God time to answer our prayers? I guess the only way we'll know is if we try it. Why not try that? Praying and then waiting for God to answer. We don't always like it, but sometimes what God requires of us is to surrender our own plans and desires to him. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. Please stay awake and pray with me, Jesus invites the disciples. And when he returns, he asks, couldn't you stay awake and pray for a single hour? Unfortunately, the disciples couldn't, and we don't either. But the good news is that while we often fail to pray and wait, Jesus succeeded. Jesus went forth with God's plan, even when it didn't turn out the way he had asked for it. Disciples didn't understand at that moment what was going on, but Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed, arrested, and led away because he believed that God the Father was actually powerful enough and able to intervene if he wanted to. He knew God's plan, and God's plan and strategy was vastly different than the strategy of the world. The truth is, God's game plan in this world often does include trial and suffering. But you can be sure that God's game plan also always includes forgiveness and, most importantly, salvation. And it includes his resurrection and ours as well. God did indeed act on Jesus' behalf, even if initially it looked like he had waited for too long. However, on Easter, we shall see more clearly. We shall see Jesus resurrected. And we pray, Savior, teach us so to rise. Amen.